I'm Jim DeBacchus on the left.
And I'm Greg Hughes on the right.
And I'm Natalie Gochner, representing the political center, where real progress gets made. And you're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. Today on the program, we're going to talk about the Antiquities Act and Congressman Rob Bishop. Jim DeBacchus, who is this guy and why is he leaving the Democratic Party? And Senator Mike Lee, can he get us that money back for the national parks? But first, this news. I'm Natalie Gochner, and this is Both Sides of the Aisle. I represent the political center. I'm joined on the left by Senator Jim DeBacchus.
Good
Welcome, Jim.
Good morning, Natalie.
And on the right by Representative Greg Hughes. Welcome, Greg.
Good morning, Natalie.
In our next segment, we're going to talk about the Antiquities Act and Congressman Bishop limiting presidential powers. We'll also talk about the federal reimbursement of the national parks. But first, we had big news this week. Our colleague here on the program, Jim DeBacchus, announced that he's stepping down from chairing the Democratic Party. I was hurt because I didn't get advance notice. Jim?
No mas,
What have you to say?
The text. Didn't you get the text?
Yeah. No.
You guys, I didn't
get it. My question is who's going to be next and what's going to happen to that party?
I have a habit of being involved in organizations, leaving and watching them soar after I go. So the big money is made after I leave organizations, and I'm expecting the same thing from the Democrats.
You know, the questions that Natalie asked would come from the middle, the political center. Here are my questions. As you abandon the Democrat Party, as you decide that you're in a hole and no longer want to dig, do you feel the burden lifted from your shoulders? Do you feel that you're no longer a pinata here in the state of Utah, Jim?
Yeah,
tell us how you feel.
I do.
Why don't you get a great political moderate to run the party and good things would happen?
Well, Natalie,
they can't find him.
Is that an offer,
I'm
Natalie?
Too much of a fiscal conservative to take that job.
Exactly.
He didn't like that, Greg. He didn't like that.
Thank you very much,
Natalie. You want a fiscal conservative, you better find a Democrat around here. I'm telling you that.
Judging by the way you use that word, I do not think you know what it means.
Look at George W. Bush. Now, there was a conservative who blew the budget. Remember, President Clinton left old George W. with a even Steven for generations budget that wasn't going anywhere, and then your big spending, wacky conservative came rolling in.
We always appreciate Speaker Newt Gingrich for helping Clinton through very difficult times and helping get that budget balanced. And the budget or the state of affairs that George W. Bush left this country with pale in comparison to the debt we have now and the spending that's going on.
I'd
be careful what you're comparing
to. I'd just like to see President Obama keep his Secret Service agents sober.
Yeah.
They had another one showing up drunk this week.
How can that happen? I mean, there was a time when a Secret Service agent was as high a calling as there was anywhere.
Shocking.
Just after what happened in Colombia, you would have thought that, you know, we probably need a lot more women agents. Somehow, really. When is the last time you saw a woman get involved in a sex scandal?
So how about we get a woman to run the Democratic Party? Why are all of your women not running for re-election in, you know, the state legislature? What's up with that?
Well, we at least started with some women that aren't running for re-election.
Okay.
You know, the
touché, Greg. How do you respond to that?
Nobody.
We need some more Republican women in the legislature.
We certainly do. I think that there are some good candidates out there on the horizon, and hopefully we'll see that happen. But we are losing some good Democrat leaders in the legislature. Senator Pat Jones, our minority leader in the House, Senator Representative Jen Selig, are departing, and we will miss them for sure.
Yeah.
More than 50% of the Democrats in the Senate are women. I mean, we are...
All three of them?
Well, I was just going to say, when it's four, Jim, it's not hard to get to half, okay? My goodness.
Listen, it's five.
We also, and I don't, you guys probably won't see this the way I do, but the women in the listening audience will. Great to see we're going to get another Trader Joe's in Utah, out in Cottonwood Heights.
I've heard big things about this. I don't shop, so I don't know. I've just heard by reputation this is a big deal.
Your staff shops shoes, right?
No, they don't.
That's what you do. No, I don't.
No,
what is that wand thing they have at grocery stores?
Don't go there.
How cool is that?
Don't go there. I will go there commercial flight card.
You got a nuclear button you think you can
push. I'm just going
to
press it. You better be careful. We know who's.
I'm a big Trader Joe's fan, and it's selection, and it's freshness, variety. And you know what I love about it is a lot of people thought that Trader Joe's would not be successful in this market because in most markets they sell a lot of liquor out of their stores. And these markets, you know, they come to Utah and they're successful. And they don't understand us until they get here. But I'm happy to see a great chain like that can be successful here.
I just don't get it. I've gone two or three times to that.
You don't like it.
No, it's not that I don't like it, but, you know, it's okay. Give me a Harmon's.
It took a long time to get H&M here. When they came, they had great success. It took a long time to get a Crate and Barrel. When they came, great success.
Give me a local company. You know, give me a Harmon's. Grown here, family, roots. Why are we so enchanted by all of these big international Swedish companies that have these goofy meatballs made out of who knows what?
when we have local companies
with real local ties, that's where we ought to be shopping.
You know what, Jim? You sound like a Republican. You know, they used to say that Republicans were the country clubs. We're the Sam's Club. Party of Sam's Club. You need to come over with us over here. You want to be a real everyday guy. Let's go to Sam's Club and start
Club?
Doing our
Are
shopping.
Are you kidding? That's Walmart on
exactly.
Junior
Greg,
steroids.
You know what Jim's latest beef is? He's really upset that the new aquarium, is it Loveland Aquarium?
Oh, it's the greatest.
Is out in the South Valley instead of downtown.
Oh, it's not just in the South Valley, Natalie. It's
is it in your
Draper,
district?
And it happens to be in the Fighting 51st District
what
in the Utah State House. Thank you very much.
What a dumb move.
What a brilliant, if by dumb you mean brilliant,
the
yes.
The soccer stadium. And now to build this beautiful aquarium out in the boonies, way out
where
somewhere
all the
south.
Kids are that go there all the time, you know?
This is why you didn't support moving the prison, because you thought life ended after 21st South, Jim. There is life after 21st
I'm
South.
I'm as big of a downtown defender as you will find, and I think Real Stadium's in the wrong place. I'm a passionate soccer, you know, fan and everything, but I don't care about the aquarium. It's fine.
It's beautiful.
You can have
there.
It in your district.
And
I'm
I
want to so
move
that
I think the coolest building to be built in a long, 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 long time is the Natural History Museum.
The what?
It's unbelievable.
It is beautiful.
Where?
And we need to move that downtown, though. I mean, it's up there, isolated away.
It is isolated. You
we
need to bring it to Draper.
Draw people. Draper.
Bring it to Draper. You bring it to Draper, and you're going to get yourself
some attendance. Is Draper in Colorado?
Attendance.
Where is Draper
Jim, we did
anyway?
Get the right public decision on the Broadway Theater, and there was a time when, you know, Sandy City wanted that theater. Nancy Workman said, every time the Salt Lake Chamber whines, I know we're being successful out here in Sandy. But the right public decision is to keep the arts in the capital city.
The arts and the aquarium.
Oh, please. Please get over it. The Penguins like right where they're at. They're loving it in Draper.
Goodness.
They're constituents.
We need tourists. Who are they? They never heard of Draper.
We have sea otters.
They should be in downtown Salt Lake City proudly, all as in Manhattan, not out in those sleeping suburbs.
The Penguins love Draper, Jim. You got to get over it.
I don't have to. I can just talk now. I don't speak for the state. I can talk for the people in Salt Lake, where my heart has always been, and I can say, who cares about Draper now?
Exactly.
It feels so good.
I love it. You know, Greg, when they put the Real Stadium out in Sandy and declared a state interest in that land, you know, in owning that land, I thought that was a stretch. And I'm just sort of like, okay, the state owns the Fair Park land. And it's right next to an underserved community that loves soccer, and it's on a rail line right directly. And it would make it so when those teams come, they could stay in a downtown hotel. They have Salt Lake City on their jersey and go to a Salt Lake City arena.
There's a lot of, you know, jingoism going on in this studio. I know I'm talking to Salt Lake City residents or Salt Lake, you know, down here in the belly of the beast when I hear this comment. Look, if you look at the attendance of Real soccer and it's the success of that stadium.
It's a great
for those that thought
success.
It was in the wrong place, the attendance would not indicate that it is in the wrong place.
It would be double if it was
wild,
downtown.
So wild attendance.
Talking up Salt Lake City, what do you make of Provo City being named the most content city in the United States?
I did not. You know, I think that's wonderful.
I don't know if you followed it, but it had something to do with, you know, were you happy the day before? Yeah, I was.
Well, it is Happy Valley.
Do you have constant learning on your mind? Yeah, I learned something new every day. That's kind of what
Valium in the water. I mean,
no, it's... You know what? Quality of life, you know, leads to a happy life. And, you know, I would say that Utah County has a great quality of life.
Better than Draper?
You know, it's probably as good. I would give them an equal billing, to be generous.
It's not a great place for a woman to work.
Yeah.
Based on the wage data. So they must have only surveyed men, I don't know. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm joined on the left by Jim DeBacchus and on the right by Greg Hughes. I'm Natalie Gochner in the Political Center. Stay tuned.
On the left, this is former State Party Chairman Jim DeBacchus.
And on the right, still Representative Greg Hughes.
And I'm Natalie Gochner in the Political Center, and this is Both Sides of the Aisle. And I want to start off this segment by just introducing the Antiquities Act and Congressman Bishop's current bill passed the House yesterday. That deals with putting conditions around the Antiquities Act. It requires an environmental review before a president can, by the stroke of a pen, set aside major tracts of land in this country. I worked in the Leavitt administration when the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument was designated by Bill Clinton. It was a dark day in our state history. A sitting governor read about the setting aside of land larger than the state of Delaware through a newspaper article in the New York Times. The people who announced this didn't even announce it in our state. They went to the rim of the Grand Canyon. They were wearing black, of all things. You know, Al Gore. They invited the Mathesons to come down. It was such a political act of terror. And as I watched it go through the Leavitt administration, it was very clear, and I'm just going to share the inside baseball stuff, that this was politically motivated to try and win California. Governor Leavitt was told as much. And he was told by the chief of staff that I can't stop this at this point, but what can I do to help? And we got a major land exchange out of it. But it was not good public policy. Jim?
Okay, so what the Antiquities Act, at first I thought it had to do with Howard Stevenson, but it is nothing to do with Howard. It is.
That's my senator you're talking about.
It is a... Well, can imagine having Howard Stevenson and Mike Lee as your senator? I mean, this is what an honor and privilege.
And Greg Hughes is your representative. How about me?
Whoa, I'm saying.
Look at me over here.
Hello.
To your right, over here.
So this is an act that made it possible for presidents to sign a piece of paper and preserve large tracts of federal land.
Like the state of Delaware.
You know, that's not saying a lot. Have you been driven through Delaware? I mean, you know, it's like saying, well, it's three times the size of Rhode Island.
You
know, all right, there we go. So this was a plan that has been around since the turn of the 20th century, actually. It allows presidents to preserve wonderful pieces of federal land. Look at what happened. You know, thank goodness Bill Clinton did what he did. See, a state chair couldn't say this, but a senator can say this. This is a moment where in 100, 200, 500 years, even the most conservative of Republicans will say, thank goodness Bill Clinton did that. And it will be Utahns that will be saying that. Thank goodness they did that. One final thing before Greg chews the microphone
up. Well,
his
veins are starting to look like Howard Stevenson's in his temple
torture.
There.
Exactly.
This is like Gitmo sitting here.
We preserved that, and guess what? National Geographic picked London and Paris and 5 or 6 or 9 other places in the world and said, Kane County, Utah, is one of the 10 most precious places that has to be seen. And if it hadn't been for that president, we would be in there strip mining for coal. There would be strip malls everywhere and golf courses and condos.
Is there a mute button?
This is the political extremes playing out. But, Greg, let's see if you can do an extreme on the right.
Natalie, you want to know why the press conference was in Arizona on the rim of the Grand Canyon? Because there's not one single solitary thing to see. The Grand Staircase Escalante.
Oh, my
because
goodness.
There is nothing grand about it. It did shut down the natural resources and the revenue that was coming that, by the way, goes to our public schools. They shut it down, but they had to find a state that had something to look at because it wasn't there, and they wanted to create a narrative that there was something worth saving. Now, Jim, I'm going to warn you that one of the areas of collateral damage that Bill Clinton's land grab created was the early retirement of Democrat Congressman Bill Orton. I would argue that he lost that reelection that year because people were so angry at the Democratic Party for taking that land and doing it in such a dark of night way.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just shameful.
Well, and I tell you, I'm in the productive middle here, and I think that land is just to die for. And Greg's just telling me that he's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no.
Because I think it's some of the incredible. Yeah. And actually, Mike Leavitt had sitting on his desk a proposal to preserve choice parts of that land, because some of it's very worthy of preservation. It was the way it was done. without any local input and in the
dark. Here's the thing. I got to tell you this. So years and years ago, I was asked by the National Guard to come and tour and look at their armories that are around the state. Well, the way you do that is you do that by helicopter. You take these policymakers, go all over the state and look at these National Guard armories and these facilities and look at them. And they were in a state of disrepair, and it was good for us to see it. But you get a perspective of the state of Utah from where a helicopter is
bird's
flying.
Eye view.
When you're on the ground and you're looking towards the horizon, there's only so much to see. When you're on a commercial airplane, you know what those are, Jim, right? Commercial flights, you know what they are? You've seen them in movies, I'm sure. Well, everything looks like a grid. You look down there, you can't make out anything. From that elevation, from that height, if I was Dr. Evil and I wanted to pave the world, I would be 8 generations in Utah and be a fraction of the way forward. There is the amount of land in Utah is inconceivable to the mind. And nobody wants to put an oil rig right underneath a natural arch. Nobody wants to take a national park and shut it down and start tearing things down and putting oil rigs in there. There are appropriate roles to maintain parks and to make sure there's tourism and backcountry available to Utahns, but there's also natural resources and revenue generation, property tax that could be derived from this land that would go straight to our public schools.
There you go. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner in the Political Center. I'm joined on the right by Greg Hughes and on the left by Jim DeBacchus. Still on public lands, we still have $1 million owed to us by the federal government for keeping the national parks open during the shutdown. And I want to just put it out on the table that I'm counting on my Senator Lee to deliver that $1 million.
Remember what happened. Mike Lee went into a tantrum, said, I'm closing down this government like a 3-year-old. Have you ever been around with 3- and 4-year-olds and 2-year-olds? They just think the whole world revolves around them. I remember being at Disney World with this wonderful relative of mine who's 3, and for no apparent reason, she would just drop and begin screaming and howling and nothing could comfort her. Nobody knew what was wrong, and it happened regularly.
That's a 3-year-old.
That is Mike Lee. He decided, I am going to have a tantrum. And me and the guy from Texas, and we're going to close down this government. And they did. It cost us $23 billion. Remember the whole state budget? How much, Greg? How much is the whole state budget?
$11.5 billion
okay,
this year.
Okay, $13 billion. And there
no,
it
you're
is.
Right. $13.5 billion.
Yeah. Mike Lee had that kind of a tantrum. Went crazy. It cost this tax. Mike, he could not make his house payment for the next 50 years and still not pay it back. And now the state of Utah, to keep our national parks open, we had to write a big state check to get them open because of Mike's tirade. And now we're begging Mikey, you be a good boy, please, and get our $1 million+ back from the federal government because of your tirade. Give me a break. The message we need to send to Mike Lee is, you're not going back to Washington.
Greg, what say you?
Well, look, I mean, too many times we look at the Beltway and we look at where congressmen and senators are trying to bring home the bacon, spend more money, be popular for reasons of being able to control the public purse. You had Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz from Texas, and you had Mike Lee for reasons that do not personally benefit their district. Argue for fiscal restraint, and you can argue with their tactics, but there was nothing self-serving in what they were doing and in the case they were making. However, I will say this. The serendipitous moment in all of this came when the state of Utah could clearly show the federal government that we are more than capable of managing and operating our national parks. Guess what? You can go ahead and turn them over. If you were ever worried that this little old state couldn't do it, guess what we can do? We can run them, and we'd run them more efficiently. That dollar amount they owe us, the dollar amount they charged us, is way more than it would take our state park infrastructure to run those same parks.
Two quick comments on that. What do you mean wasn't self-serving? Mike Lee got on every single television station and cable thing in the world and said, I've shut down our federal government, fellow Tea Party crazies. Send me money. Give me your name.
I just didn't
and
hear that.
They made millions and millions and millions of dollars off that. It was the most self-serving few million bucks that Mike Lee and his buddies could get in exchange for billions of dollars of taxpayers' money. And as far as the state running the parks, if we're so good at running parks, why don't we run our own state parks decently? I mean, in actual terms, as a guy in the Natural Resources Committee, I can tell you we're not running our state parks very well. We're not funding them very well. We're not keeping up with our capital projects and with maintenance there. You start running our state parks in a decent way, and then maybe that would be a tip off that you can run the national
ones. I want to keep this friendship alive, but you guys are like, you know, you've seen each other.
You've seen the ads. You've seen the ads. The big five, the big state parks that we're encouraging Utahns to go and visit. We certainly run these parks well, but by the definition of you can always spend more, I'm sure Jim is frustrated. We haven't tripled the budget in 1 year.
So
imagine
so Mike,
a working toilet.
So Mike Lee, you know, a Republican in our U.S. Senate, Mia Love is looking like she's going to land a spot as taking over Jim Matheson's spot, and it would make it so we have an all-Republican congressional delegation.
Woo! That's a big jump.
Yeah, I know it's a big jump, and it's a ways out there, but I noticed this week that she was named by the National Republican Congressional Committee a contender, which
Young
means
gun.
She's going to get national money coming in here.
You know, it's sad because Mia doesn't deserve the national help she's getting. She hasn't worked hard enough. She is a bit on the lazy side. She simply goes to Washington, and unlike so many other candidates, they fill her briefcase full of money, and the Speaker of the House gets her agenda going, and she complains a lot. Oh, the car wasn't big enough. She's seeing this as a role with this actress background she has, and it's too bad that we're going to lose. If she wins, we're going to lose a serious congressperson who's into the issues, who has the background and training. And I think Doug, as people get to know Doug Owens, they are going to recognize that this Yale-educated lawyer who has a great policy mind and works hard would be a much, much better representative
than the
mayor of a small town.
Oh, I love this topic.
Leave it
is
to
not
a,
very well liked in her
leave
own
it
town.
To a former leader of the Democratic Party to talk badly about this Haitian woman to be in the U.S. Congress.
Well, I wish we could have this segment every single week, every single segment, because this is what I love. We have heard from the National Democrat Party, and we've heard said over and over that Republicans have a hard time reaching out to women, and they have a hard time reaching out to minorities. Here you have a candidate in Mia Love that would contradict all of that narrative, all of those theories, and we have this Harvard highbrow white guy that the Democrats say is, you know, has a better work ethic and is smarter and is better. I swear to you, this is what the Democrats have said that the Republicans have been saying, Jim, exactly what you've been saying.
Sarah Palin.
Oh, let me tell you. It's just, it goes to show that when we talk about some of these issues, whether it be women or minorities, if it's all about party. I mean, I'm going to tell you, you're going to say that you got to discard those things and go for the guy when it's your guy.
Michelle Bachmann.
So Greg, I went to my Republican caucus meetings last week. It was an okay experience, but just okay. I mean, I went to Murray High. Every door was locked but one. That kind of bothered me, you know, because it was very restrictive to get in.
Yeah.
And then when you got in, you know, you had to, like, show ID, and it just felt very restrictive. I get up in my room, because you go to a little classroom, and I was read the Republican Party, you know,
the platform.
Yeah. And,
go
you know,
figure. You're at a Republican Party,
but,
you know,
but
caucus
there night. Was nothing about air quality, nothing about economic development, long-term unemployment. It was about the United Nations, assisted suicide, gun laws. And then I was asked, and then I ran for state delegate, and I won, proud to say.
Congratulations.
But then, I expressed my support for Mia Love, which I do support. And I had people, you know, jump all over me that, am I going to represent the feelings in the room and the people I'm delegated that vote for? Or am I going to represent what I think is best for the state or myself? And I just thought, thank goodness for Count My Vote, because people are going to be able to keep their vote.
Here's the thing. By virtue of your election, that decision was made, because I'm sure you were very honest about your approach. So by the fact that you were elected, I think we've cleared that up, who you get to vote for or how you represent your neighborhood. I will tell you that having meeting delegates, because I'm in the middle of this. I've got a Republican opponent.
I go
to the home of a sweet delegate who's completely independent, has never met me, does not know my opponent, and bless her heart, she's got a list of bills that I have voted on over time, and not just this last session, and she wants to know
why
I voted that way. And I have to rack my brains. I have to think it out. And then some I have to confess,
so
I don't remember.
So I want her to have her vote, but I want everyone else to keep their vote, too.
Yeah, well.
We got to go to gripes, and I'm going to point to you, Jim, first. Have you got a gripe you want to share?
Trader Joe's, and my gripe is this. It's about time that the state looked at subleasing from the Trader Joe's of the world whole alcohol sections the way that other states do, and stopped having the state in the landlord business for alcohol, put the same restraints there, and let's get out of this business, carry on the same kind of qualifications we have, but just do it in the free enterprise system.
Greg.
I have a unique gripe. A good friend of mine named Flash, Eddie Flash Newman, he teaches martial arts, and he's also trains boxers. And he's been a friend of mine for years and years. His nephew is a gentleman named James Johnson. And James Johnson plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. And I got to spend time with James Johnson tonight, last night.
Cool.
He is a class act, an affable kid, friendly. He tried out for the Jazz last summer, and he was not given a spot, and now he is ripping it up for the Grizzlies, and I'm just, my rant is, how did Greg Miller and the Jazz let this kid go?
That's a good rant.
He's a great
kid. That's a good rant, and I'm going to catch up with my rant next time. You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. Thanks for listening.